So it's May 1st. We made it this far. Oh, it's so good to be alive, and it's good to be alive during this time. So we've been looking at your operation of the God-given ability, and lately looking at the revelation manifestations of the gift of Holy Spirit, which are word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Okay? So we have all this, and we've been looking at examples. We read the definitions of all these, and we've been looking at examples in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament scriptures. Now, last week, we looked at a section in Ezekiel where God told Ezekiel that there were prophets that claimed to be prophets of the true God, and they're saying things, but God had not sent them. He hadn't given them any words to say, but they're saying it anyway. And God was very displeased. This happened quite a lot, actually, in the Old Testament times. There's another record in Jeremiah, if you want to look at Jeremiah chapter 14, where the same thing was going on with him. Now, Jeremiah, he had a tough enough time being a prophet and having to deliver what was really bad news to the people. I mean, it could have been good news if they would listen to him and have a change of heart and get rid of their idols and worship the true God. Could have had a happy ending for them, but they didn't. And one of the things that made it more difficult is that there were other prophets, at least they claimed to be prophets, that were saying the opposite of what Jeremiah was saying. And in chapter 14, verse 13, Jeremiah talks to God about this. Now, God had told Jeremiah to let the people know that they were in trouble because they had been worshiping other gods, and there was war coming, and there was famine coming, and the people didn't want to hear it. Verse 13 says, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, You shall not see the sword." I mean, there won't be war. "Neither shall you have famine. You'll have plenty to eat. But I will give you assured peace in this place." Now, these prophets were giving a message that sounded good to the ears of the people. "You will not see the sword. You shall not have famine. But I will give you assured peace in this place." It was just what they wanted to hear. The problem is, it wasn't what God told them to say. Verse 14 says, "The Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart." And he goes on to say it's not going to be a happy ending for those prophets that are doing that. God was very unhappy about this, and of course it made Jeremiah's job a lot harder, but the job of a prophet is to speak the word of God whether the people receive it or whether they don't receive it. And God let Jeremiah know right off the bat, right in the beginning, that they're not going to listen to you, but you have to say these things anyway. It was important to God that they got to hear it, even if they wouldn't listen to it, because at least they would have an opportunity to believe the right thing. And God always gave his people that opportunity. He wasn't just going to punish them and then let them try to figure out what happened. He told them first what was going to happen, and then he did what he said he was going to do. He also said that you'll be in captivity for 70 years. And after 70 years, they were allowed to go back to Judah and rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. So all the things God said, whether they were good or bad sounding to the people, they all came to pass. Now let's go to 1 John, please, because there's stuff in the New Testament that also talks about false prophets, even in our times. So 1 John chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1, and it says, "Beloved," because it's addressed to the believers, to those that are born again. It said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." So when he's talking about spirits here, it's the same word pneuma for spirit as it would be the gift of Holy Spirit or a devil spirit. And for many years, I thought this was talking about devil spirits, but it's really talking about the prophecy of people that are speaking for God or claiming to speak for God. Okay? So spirit is used as a figure of speech to represent what spirit produces. Okay? A person speaking by the Spirit of God will prophesy. Okay? It will be a message from God. Now, someone who's speaking falsely, because it right in the verse it talks about false prophets, and that gives us the context that we know that this is talking about the words that they're speaking that they claim to be words that are coming from God. All right, so these are people saying that they're speaking for God, but they're speaking things that are not true. They're false prophets. And it says, but try the spirits. So you're not trying the people, okay? You're not putting them on trial. You're judging the words that they're speaking, okay, whether they be of God. Why? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world, people that claim to be speaking for God. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit, every prophecy that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So apparently at the time that this was written, there were those that were prophesying and saying that they were speaking for God, but saying that Jesus Christ had not come in the flesh. And if he hadn't come in the flesh, well, then he couldn't die. And if he couldn't die, he couldn't be raised from the dead. And if he weren't raised from the dead, then there's no salvation for anybody, right? So there's a problem there. So he's giving them this information, saying if you hear a prophecy and it's coming from the point of view of Jesus Christ not coming in the flesh, that the words don't agree with the fact that he actually did come in the flesh and, you know, was raised from the dead and do everything that the Word of God says he did, then you know that prophecy doesn't come from God. So that's one way of telling, especially regarding this specific information. The other way of telling whether a prophecy is from God would be by the revelation manifestation of discerning of spirits. Okay? So let's look again at the definition of the manifestation of discerning of spirits, make sure we understand it. The manifestation of discerning of spirits is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may receive from God, by his revealing it to you, the necessary information concerning the presence or non-presence of spirits, and the identity of spirits present, and if evil, whether you may cast them out. So again, this is by God revealing it to you, and it's the necessary information. So you can only receive discerning of spirits if God has something to show you or to tell you, right? Regarding presence or non-presence of spirits and the identity of spirits present. And then if there is an evil spirit that's identified, God can tell you whether to cast it out. This information is known by revelation. It's not something to use your logic or reasoning. What we saw in 1 John 3, that came by revelation, you see? That came by revelations. So you can use that information to see if there's a prophecy that says Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. You know it's not true. But there are other things that could be said by false prophets that are also wrong in other categories. And discerning of spirits would be the way to know when it comes to dealing with people that are possessed. And we'll look at some records of this evening. You don't know someone's possessed just because they're acting abnormally. Okay? It's not something that you know by your five senses. It's not something that you just figure out. If someone is acting abnormally, they might be possessed with a devil spirit. And if God wants you to know, he can let you know that. He can reveal it to you. But it's not something for you to figure out. Okay? Spiritual information is received by the spirit, not by the five senses. So you don't look for five senses clues to see whether somebody's possessed or not. Ask God. Let him tell you. If he doesn't tell you, then you don't know. If he does tell you, then you do know. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. where it gives what all the nine manifestations of the Spirit are, and it mentions discerning of spirits in verse 10. And it says, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits. The word discerning is the word diakrisis, and diakrisis, it's only used three times. It's translated discerning and discerning of spirits, disputations, or to discern, and it means a judicial estimation, a distinguishing, a discerning, a judging. But in this context, it's a manifestation of the Spirit. So when it comes to discerning of spirits, judging what kind of spirit one has, being able to tell the difference, it's not done by the five senses. It's a revelation manifestation. Now, this is a noun. There is a verb form of this word, diakrino, and it's translated to judge, it's translated difference, it's translated doubt, doubting, contend, differ, discern, discerning, staggered. It says Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. And it means to doubt, because what a doubt is, say if you have a word from God and you're trying to decide whether to believe it or not or whether it's true or not, you're doubting, right? When you believe, you're not in the judgment period. You have already decided at that point, yes, it is true. I'm going to believe it and I'm going to act upon it. If you're still making that decision, that's doubt. And when you're in that doubting state, you're not believing. You know, Jesus Christ said that if you believe and do not doubt in your heart, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. So if God gives you a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and the word of wisdom is tell this mountain to be cast into the sea, then you believe that absolutely without doubting it, without judging whether was that really God or not. Well, you can know that was really God, and you can know it's going to come to pass because God said it. And then you have that manifestation of believing that kicks in, where you just absolutely believe that what God has revealed to you will surely come to pass. And it's not a mental saying yes, it's an absolute knowing where it can't not happen if you do what God says. We'll see more about that when we get into the faith miracles and healing in the weeks to come. But diakrino appears in 1 Corinthians 14. You go to verse 29. It talks about prophets in the church. And you might have a church that the group's large enough, and there might be more than one prophet in that group. So 1 Corinthians 14:29 says, let the prophets speak, two or three, and let the other judge. That's diakrino. So if there's, say, three prophets and two are speaking, and if they're prophets, they're going to be speaking for God, thus saith the Lord. And let the other ones judge, using discerning of spirits to determine, yes, that is what God said, or he's making it up, or he has prophesying by some other source, you know? So the others may judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. Okay, if someone says, look, God told me something, and let that second one speak, and the first one, don't sit and argue back and forth. If it's from the same God, everything should agree with one another. But this is giving instructions on what to do. So if there's two or three prophets, let them speak one at a time. Take their turns. Don't cut each other off. Verse 31 says, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. And that's what will happen when the prophets are speaking to the believers in the church. There can be learning. There could be reproof, and could be correction, but you can learn from those things, right? Reproof and correction are not to do damage to somebody. They're to help somebody and help everybody. So all may learn and all may be comforted or encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Now, go to Isaiah chapter 11. This is something that was said concerning Jesus Christ hundreds of years before he came. Isaiah chapter 11. This is about the Messiah. And this has to do with judgment, okay? If discerning of spirits is a matter of judgment, this will set the standard on how that judgment is to be made. Verse 1 says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Like a tree that was cut down. You ever cut down a tree and then have a shoot come up out of the roots? That's what this is talking about here. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." It means he's going to stay there. He's not going to come and go. He's going to rest upon him. "The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes," see that? "Neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." Means he's going to judge, but he's not going to judge by his five senses. He's not going to judge by what he sees with his eyes or what he hears people tell him, okay? Because what you see with your eyes can be faulty information, and what people tell you, it's not always true. But yet he's going to judge, and he's going to judge with righteousness. That means he's going to be listening to God in his judgment. And Jesus Christ said just that in John chapter 5. So if you go to John 5, please, starting in verse 21. And at this point, Jesus Christ is in a dispute with the Pharisees who had faulted him for healing a man and telling him to pick up his bed and carry it home. And it happened to be the Sabbath day. So they thought he was an evildoer because he made somebody do work on the Sabbath day. So he had a lot of words with them. But in verse 21, he talks about the fact that he has been assigned by God to carry out God's judgment. Verse 21 says, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them," means makes them alive, "even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him." And this is true. If someone wants to honor God, you should honor the one that God sent, especially his Son. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." And if you've ever read Daniel chapter 7 in the vision that he had of the one like unto the Son of Man appearing before God, referred to as the Ancient of Days, and that he was given authority over all the earth, over all nations and languages and people. You see, he's given this God-given authority to execute judgment over all other men. And God gave him not only the right to do this, but the responsibility to do this, because God wanted the one who gave his life for everybody to be the one in charge of judging them. Okay? "Marvel not at this," verse 28, "for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." And Jesus Christ will be the one to let them know which end they're going to get. Verse 30 says, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge." And that hearing is not hearing what people tell him, it's hearing what God tells him. And I know this because of what it says. "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just," it's right, "because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which hath sent me." Okay? He's seeking the will of the Father, and he's receiving God's instruction on the judgment to make. So he can look at a person, and regardless of what they look like, good or bad, and regardless of what that person tells them, good or bad, he's hearing from God. He's seeking God's will, not his own. And that's why his judgment is just. Like it said in Isaiah, in righteousness shall he judge. You see? And that's the key to judgment, especially when it comes to spiritual matters. This discerning of spirits is not making a five senses judgment. It's receiving revelation from God. Because you're getting God's judgment on the situation. Let's look at some examples. Mark 9 is a good one here. And we're going to start in verse 19. Okay, this is the one where this man had a son with a dumb spirit. Let's start in verse 17. So one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son which hath a dumb spirit. That doesn't mean a stupid spirit. It means it makes him unable to speak. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. But they could not. They were not able to do it. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, it's unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Help me with mine unbelief. And you know, if you ask God that, he can help you. He can help you. And Jesus Christ did in this case. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit. It was a foul spirit, an unclean spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit. Now the man just told him it was a dumb spirit, but he called it dumb and deaf spirit. I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead. Insomuch as many said, he is dead. Of course, they're all going by their senses, right? But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. See, discerning of spirits gives you the identity of spirits present. He knew what kind of spirit this was. And he knew, by the revelation from God, what it's going to take to cast out this kind of spirit. It was revealed to him, you see? So, in this episode here, the young man was unable to speak because he had a dumb and a deaf spirit. So the spirit blocked his hearing and blocked his ability to speak. Now, Matthew 9 is another record. Verse 32 is where we'll start. And it says in verse 32, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. So again, he was not able to speak, and he was possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. So up to this point, this man was not able to speak. But Jesus Christ cast out that devil, and now he could speak. So the inability to speak was caused by a devil spirit in this case, very much like the other situation. So when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. Now, where did they get that information? Either by their five senses reasoning or something that they just made up as an intentional lie to discredit Jesus Christ. But let's read another record. Mark 7, verse 32. we have another situation where someone's deaf and has problems speaking. Verse 32, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he, Jesus Christ, took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, which is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. Now, how come he didn't cast out a devil spirit? Well, he didn't have one. So one person might have been deaf and dumb because they had a devil spirit, and another was deaf and dumb because he had a devil spirit. But here's someone who's deaf and has trouble speaking, but it wasn't a devil spirit. So discerning of spirits will tell you if God reveals it to you, because he's going to give you the necessary information, and it's by his revealing it to you. It's never by you figuring it out. But God can reveal to you whether a person has the devil spirit or not, whether a person is born again or not, whether a person is speaking by the Spirit of God or not. So in this case, there was a man that was deaf. Jesus Christ dealt with other deaf people by casting out a spirit. In this case, no spirit. So he dealt with him in a different way. And we know that Jesus Christ said that he always did what God told him to do. So we know that God told him to heal this man in this way. Jesus Christ didn't go by his five senses. So you don't judge a situation by appearances. And you don't use revelation that God had given you in a similar situation. I've seen that happen where someone's ministering to somebody else because something else worked last time with a different person. They're using the same information that they got last time in this situation. You don't see Jesus Christ doing that. He always dealt with each situation individually and asked God what to do this time. He didn't use secondhand revelation, okay? He didn't use revelation for something similar to do it this time. Let's see, Matthew 4, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 24. Now it says in verse 24, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. So it lists different categories of people that needed help. Those that were taken with divers diseases and torments, those that were possessed with devils, those which were lunatic. Those are two different categories. Possessed with devil, lunatic. They might act in a similar way, because someone that's lunatic has a mental problem. That mental problem could be caused by something physical in that person's body, or it could be caused by some kind of trauma that they had experienced, or another mental issue that they have, or the unusual behavior could be caused by a devil spirit. Jesus Christ knew which ones were possessed with devils, which ones were, uses the word lunatic, had mental problems. He could tell the difference because he always asked God. He didn't figure it out by his five senses. He didn't judge by the sight of his eyes. Remember? And that's something for us to remember. If God gives you revelation, you know. If you see someone acting weird, don't just assume he's or she is possessed unless God tells you. God can tell you. If it's something that you need to know, the necessary information, God can give you that information. But don't guess about it. Don't try to figure it out and connect the dots by your five senses. A good possibility you're going to be wrong, and you'll never cast out a devil spirit from a person that doesn't have a devil spirit. You might confuse them, you might get them worried, but you're not going to cast out a devil spirit if there's no devil spirit in them, okay? It's not going to help them. If there is a devil spirit, then God can let you know if he wants you to know, and if he does let you know that there's one, then he can also let you know whether you should cast it out. Remember? In the definition, manifestation of discerning of spirits is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may receive from God by his revealing it to you. not by you figuring it out, but by his revealing it to you, the necessary information concerning the presence or non-presence of spirits, and the identity of spirits present, if there are spirits present, and, if evil, whether you may cast them out. I've had personal experience trying to cast out a devil spirit without the revelation to do so. I just knew that this guy was possessed, okay, by the way that he was acting, the things that he would say, and I determined I was going to cast it out. I knew I had the authority. I knew I could use the name of Jesus Christ. Only the spirit didn't come out of the guy. And afterwards, I asked God, what happened? How come it didn't work? He said, didn't you hear me tell you to get out of there? And, oh, that was you, huh? See, yeah, I told you to get out of there. You had made up your mind to cast out the spirit, but I wasn't the one who told that to you, okay? Do what I tell you. It will work every time. Do it on your own. You can get in trouble, and you're not going to help a person. So, learn my lesson there. But let's see what else we can learn. Matthew 12. We can learn a lot from this scripture, to tell you that. It's even better than personal experience. But when you walk out on the scriptures and you do what it says, then you'll get very valuable personal experience. And if you want to learn how to walk with God, the best thing to do is not only read these examples of other people who learned how to walk with God and who did it, but ask God to help you. Ask God to show you. Because God does that. We saw it with Jeremiah. We saw it with Samuel. We see it with others. God helps people that want to know. So ask him. Matthew 12, verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. The other one was deaf and dumb, but this was blind and dumb. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Meaning they believed he was the promised Messiah. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Now, on what basis could they make that claim? We know it wasn't true. Was there anything that Jesus Christ said or did that would indicate that he was casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils? No. Even by the five senses, it wasn't a good reasoning to come to. It seems much more likely that they just invented a lie to discredit him. But Jesus Christ called them on it in verse 25. Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? So Satan is evil, but he's not stupid. He's not going to do something to intentionally ruin his own things. You know, he was told by God he would be defeated all his life and have his head crushed in the end. But he's not going to intentionally do something that's going to destroy his kingdom, his dominion. Verse 27, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, if that's how I'm doing it, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. So Jesus Christ knew that the children of these very men were known for casting out devils. And he said, hey, if you say I'm doing it by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils, who do you say that your children are doing it by? He said, let them be your judges. They're not going to agree with that either. Verse 28, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Okay? Put it right back on them. Now, in Acts 19, there was a group of Judean fellows who were known for casting out devils. So let's go to Acts 19, verse 13. And it says in verse 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews, and vagabond means they traveled around, okay? They went from town to town and they did exorcisms. It says they were exorcists. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. Now, an exorcist, the word's only used once in the Bible right here. And definition is one that binds by an oath. That's the Strong's definition. The Thayer definition says, he who extracts an oath of one. And second definition, an exorcist, one who employs a formula of conjuration for expelling demons. So they'll come up with a formula. If I say these words and do these things, that spirit has to go. And if you've ever read the book or seen the movie The Exorcist, there are certain people in certain churches that consider that their job to help people that have devil spirits, and they have formulas, they have words that they say. See, they're not doing it by revelation, discerning the spirits. They have these protocols that they follow, hoping that it will work. So these ones said, let's use the name of Jesus, the one that Paul preaches, because they knew that Paul was kicking out devil spirits. In fact, in the previous verse, or two verses, look at verse 11 and 12, it says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Special miracles, as if normal miracles aren't special enough. These are out of the ordinary miracles. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So this was happening. But also, they knew that Paul preached Jesus, and that Paul was able to very effectively cast out devil spirits. So it says, they took it upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you. And that word adjure, horkizo, that's a Greek verb where exorcist comes from. Horkizo, the exorcist is ex orchistes, and it comes from horkizo with the prefix ek, which means out of. So horkizo is to adjure, to put somebody under an oath that will bind them. So if they agree to that oath, then they can't do anything but what you say. It's like when the high priest, when Jesus Christ was on trial, he said, I adjure you by the living God, tell me whether you're the Messiah or not. Okay? I adjure you. I make you to swear by an oath that you will not say anything else but what I tell you. Okay? So he said, tell me the truth whether you're the Messiah or not. I adjure you. So they would try to do this with devil spirits, saying, I adjure you. It's like I command you. I constrain you so that you cannot stay in that person. You must come out. And they figured if they say just the right words, they'll get just the right results. But they decided what the words were going to be. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, a Judean, and chief of the priests, which did so. So he wasn't the high priest, but he was one of the chief priests. And he had seven sons that were traveling exorcists, put on the casting out the devil spirit show, probably charged money for it. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. So they didn't have the authority to use that name or the instruction to use that name. They took it upon themselves, so they tried it out, and it didn't go well for them. Now in chapter 16 of Acts, if you go back a few pages, there's a situation where Paul did deal with a devil spirit one-on-one that we can read about. And this is when he went to Philippi. Remember, Paul saw that vision in the night saying, come to Macedonia and help us. So he went to Macedonia and witnessed to some people there that did believe. And he was preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ there. And verse 16 of chapter 16 says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, young lady, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So the spirit of divination is from the Greek word puthon. It's where we get the word python from, like the snake. And there was a district called Putho where Delphi was, where the famous Oracle of Delphi was. And they would have supposed prophets of one of the Roman gods that would shout at people and predict the future. And the word soothsaying, montuomai, it says, means a prophet as supposed to rave through inspiration, to divine that is utter spells under pretense of foretelling. So it's to act as a seer, to deliver an oracle, to prophesy, to divine, and it's a derivative of a word, meinomai, which means to be mad, like a maniac, okay? So this young lady who had the spirit of divination, she was soothsaying. She would like go into this raving rage and be shouting stuff. And she had masters that charged people money for this. And she would speak by this devil spirit. Verse 17 says, the same followed Paul and us and cried or shouted, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us, it says the way of salvation, but there's no word the in the Greek, which show unto us a way of salvation. That's what she was saying. These men are servants of the Most High God, but she's shouting this, raving, which show unto us or preach unto us a way of salvation, a way of deliverance. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour or immediately. Well, let me ask you, if she did it many days and Paul was grieved, do you think he was grieved the first, second, third day? But she did it many days. Why did Paul wait so long to cast the Spirit out if he was grieved? You see, Paul knew about discerning of spirits, and he wasn't acting on his grief because it wasn't that he was so irritated, okay, I have to cast it out. No, he waited until he got the go-ahead from God. He had the authority, he had the ability, but you need the instructions to do something like this, okay? He might have known right from the beginning that there was a devil spirit involved, but remember, if evil, whether you may cast it out. Do you have God's go-ahead to do so? It's not whether you can cast it out, but whether you may cast it out, whether you have the permission and the guidance to do that. Paul waited until he did. And when he did, he spoke to the Spirit, just like Jesus Christ commanded the spirits to come out. He didn't talk to the person that had the Spirit. He talked to the Spirit that was in the person. And he said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, meaning not by my authority, but by his, come out of her. And he came out right away. Because these spirits, they knew Jesus Christ. And they knew that Paul was an apostle, one sent by Jesus Christ, acting on Jesus Christ's behalf in what he was saying and what he was doing. Okay? And then when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, because without the Spirit, then this lady wouldn't be raving and saying things and nobody's going to pay any money, just have a conversation with a normal person. So the hope of their gains was gone. I think that's all we have time to cover tonight because it's 8:30 already. I had a couple of more records regarding discerning of spirits, and then I would like to get into the impartation manifestations of believing miracles and healing. So we should be able to get into that starting next week. Okay? But that's all for tonight. So God bless everybody.